3 o'clock growl. By the way, not Stepdad Leo. I mentioned all the green shirts that he has, his closet full of green shirts and green shirts only. He texted me. He says he and my mom just counted 117 regular green shirts of various shades and 12 T-shirts with green colors currently in the closet.
What?
There is nothing but green in not Stepdad Leo's closet.
Wow. That is, he's loyal to Notre Dame.
He's super committed to that. Concept. Super committed. All right, so John, nudism is surging around the world. Now, have you ever been to a clothing optional place?
Once. Italy, a resort in Italy in, where is that place where George Clooney has a house? Lake Como.
Lake Como, yeah.
Yeah. I told you the story.
It was clothing optional for you too?
Yeah, I went and laid down on a lounge chair. Lisa was to my right, and a family came in. Mom, dad, kids that were maybe 10 and 8, boy and a girl. And the mom plops down right next to me and takes off her top.
Yep.
And I look at Lisa and I go, come on, step up your game. No chance. It was like it was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, so this is gaining popularity now. And a lot of people, let's face it, when's the last time you wore real pants? When's the last time you wore real clothes? The idea is, according to this Naturism Society, which exploded during the pandemic, social isolation has caused an explosion in naked living. Donna Price, who lives in Scarborough, England, says, my husband and I got into it by accident when we stumbled onto a nudist beach. My husband hates wearing clothes, and he wanted to try it. I love swimming. When I got into the water naked, I loved it. That sold it for me. My husband and I don't work anymore, and we live pretty much naked unless it's really cold. Just normal activities, but you don't put clothes on. It's very freeing. People tend to make assumptions or judgments based on what you're wearing. It's a great leveler. There is no class, no status, no distinctions. You don't feel as if you're being judged. It is very body positive. Everyone is the same fundamentally under there, even though we might be unique. Now, John, what do you think of the nudist life? I will tell you, first of all, I used to go to Esalen a lot, which is up at Big Sur, Esalen Institute.
Yeah, you're
really
not
cool.
Supposed to talk.
Kind of no, that's not it. It's a really hippie joint. That's like where Pete Carroll went and where Bill Walton
Where John Hamm is at the end of Mad Men.
John Hamm is at the end of Mad Men. It's a clothing optional place. And I took the option every single time. And there actually is kind of something freeing about it. It is a great leveler because everybody's...
So you're running around this place naked?
Yeah, no clothes.
Nobody needs to see that out of me. I'm going with the bathing suit.
But there is something very freeing about going to a clothing optional place. And I'm sorry that Lisa did not take advantage of the... Because frankly, that's every beach in Europe is is topless or optional. Topless.
Yeah, I don't need to be showing off my junk. I'm not.
I don't think
that.
It's really showing off. It's a great leveler. You actually wind up not being that interested. it has kind of the opposite effect. Lindsay, would ever try a nudist lifestyle?
I wouldn't try a nudist lifestyle, but I think if I were to travel to one of these places where everybody, like a nudist beach, you know, was completely normal, I would give it a try. But my one question is, John, when you guys went to a clothing optional beach, I feel like, you know, I've seen things on TV, like movies or whatever. Is it true that the nudist people like kind of frown upon the clothed people?
I don't know. I don't know if frown upon is the right word. I think they think that you're pent up, you know, that you're not, you're not going with the flow.
See, I always thought they just assumed that you were there as a creeper. Just you want to watch look at all the other naked people, but you're not willing to get naked yourself. So I feel like in that situation, it would be appropriate to be a nudist, you know? But otherwise, I would definitely not like live my life that way.
Jorge, what about you and Brenda?
I don't think Brenda would do it.
No.
To be honest, no. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been in locker rooms, so.
Yeah.
I always find the dynamic, and, you know, like you guys, Mace, you and Lindsay were arguing pretty vehemently that reporters should be allowed back into locker rooms.
Yeah, they should have access to players.
So, for years, if you went to cover a WNBA game.
Right.
Like, let's say, and I want to talk to Shanae Agumake, okay? The way that works is I would go down to the locker room. I would tell the PR person, I want to talk to Shanae. She would then go in, get Shanae. Shanae would either throw on sweats, or if she had already taken a shower, she'd throw on her clothes, and she'd come out and talk to me. Why couldn't we do that with the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL?
You should talk to Ramona. Have you ever been in a locker room with Ramona?
All the time. 100 times.
So Momo is actually relationship building. she's talking to guys who aren't being interviewed. Good reporters are talking to guys that aren't necessarily at a podium taking questions.
Right. My question would be, why can't she do that when they walk out of the locker room and they're walking to their car? It's a long walk.
What? You're just going to – reporters are going to trail guys to their car?
Do people do it all the time?
Yeah.
Kobe, I mean, that's how everybody got Kobe. If you wanted to have a private conversation with Kobe, you just waited until he got done with his scrum. And when he went and walked out to the loading dock, you'd walk with him. If you ask Plachke, he's probably got 100 stories that way. I think it's weird that people have to be naked in front of a group of reporters. I've always
thought that. Yeah, but nobody even friggin' notices. Nobody notices.
I think the players would tell you different.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think this is going right back to where it was.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be this year.
Oh, no, definitely not this year. But next year, I think it's going to be a return to normal. I think, again, reporters are going to be able to relationship build.
I've been told by somebody who knows that the reporters will not be allowed in NFL locker rooms this year.
Yeah, that's a terrible mistake. A terrible mistake on the part of the league. Although,
and I don't think it's coming back in the NBA either.
I think it's definitely coming back in the NBA. It's what reporters do. I mean, you're literally taking people out of jobs. Where do you think these inside sources start? I'm being told. When you hear a reporter say, I'm being told that, mm-hmm. Where do you think that information's coming from?
Well, I think that there may be a situation where they're going to be allowed to talk to players face-to-face outside of the locker room. But I think now that teams have seen that they can get dressed in private, they're going to keep it.
Yeah, see, I think reporters are going to fight like hell to keep this. Lindsay, what do you think?
I think that I don't think it necessarily matters like where it is, as long as reporters have the chance, like some kind of opportunity to talk to them one-on-one. Because one thing with baseball, when they do the pregame media availability, it's usually like 3 hours before the game. So you have to get there super early. And I've never like encountered people getting undressed in that situation. Usually it's the post game when they're like just getting out of the shower.
Right.
So I feel like if they are to, you know, do something with the timing or location, I don't know. I think that there's a way to do it, but they, like Mason said, the exclusivity or the opportunity to have some type of exclusivity is what reporters are going to fight for. I don't think most people want to necessarily do interviews when guys are getting dressed, but if that's the only time that they have to do it, then that's the only time they have to do it.
Yeah, I wanted to just go back the way it was. I mean, return to normal. What's wrong with returning to normal?
I think there's a new normal.
I mean, a lot of things have changed over time because, I mean, you remember...
Okay, Mace, let me ask you this. The restrictions at Dodger Stadium have been lifted, right? If you're vaccinated,
correct.
You don't have to wear a mask.
If you're not vaccinated, you have
right.
to wear a mask.
Why aren't there reporters in the locker room?
I don't know the answer to that.
The answer is because the team doesn't want them in there.
Are they or are they not?
They're not back in the locker room, no.
They're not back in the locker room?
No.
Because I don't know, I'm not a reporter, so when I go to the game, I go as a fan. So you're telling me that reporters are not allowed to go into the Dodger clubhouse anymore?
Correct.
As of right now, they're not. But so let me ask you guys this. Is there a situation, whether it's in any of the three major sports, where you think, like, is there something else that they can do where they can allow reporters to have the opportunity to have one-on-one
sure.
time with players?
Yeah, I mean,
well,
sure
yeah, they can go to practice.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way to do that. I don't know why people don't want the world to go back to the way it was.
Because
it's working pretty well.
Yeah, the players don't want to get dressed in front of a bunch of reporters.
That's a union issue, though. That's a union issue.
Things do change over time, though, Mace, because remember, like, one of my mentors, Sheldon Ockert, who wrote for the Akron Beacon Journal, he was, like, an NBA and an MLB reporter for 50-something years before he retired. And he would always tell me these stories about how, you know, back in the old days, then, you know, the writers got to travel on the planes with the teams. Nobody's allowed to do that anymore.
No, it'd be a conflict of interest.
Right. So they used to be able to do that. They also used to go out to dinner with them when they're on the road and stuff like that. They don't do that anymore now. It's like the relationship between the writers, reporters, and then the teams, like the players and coaches, has just changed so much over the years. I feel like they're just getting further and further and further apart.
Yeah, the only thing I used to do locker room for Sportsnet LA, and so I went in and interviewed players and all that stuff. But I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that goes in and relationship builds. I'm talking out of my ass. But people like Ramona, who I've, you know, witnessed in a locker room, you know, talking to guys and building relationships so she can later text them and say, hey, what is going on with this? What is going on with that? I mean, that's an important part of a reporter's job. So I hope it doesn't go away, but Ireland says it's gone.
Yeah, I think that she'll continue to do that, but she'll do it at practice.
Okay, interesting. All right, so tonight is the night. It's over for the Clippers, John. Do you agree?
I think so. I think it's over. Unless somebody, you know, the Clippers have been down before. They were down 2-0 twice and came back. And Ty Lue's been down 3-1 before. Lindsay knows that. And he's come back from 3-1. So it's not a lock, but I think it's over.
Yeah, I think it's over. Clippers in five, or Suns in five was what I predicted at the beginning. And by the way, what will the finals be?
Milwaukee, Phoenix, it looks like. And I think Milwaukee wins it.
Yeah, give me Milwaukee in six.
All right. I also have a clip I want to play for you guys that I can't. I didn't know this was a thing.
Okay.
And I want to know if I'm like the only one.
All right, cool.
Okay.
That is coming up next.
Dodger lineup's out for the Giants game tonight, too. We can give you that.
Okay. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yeah. Hey, you want some big, dumb fun? Other than this, Fast and Furious 9, F9, was fantastic. Now, here's the scary thing. Vin Diesel went on the Kelly Clarkson show and says that he wants to do a musical of Fast and Furious.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, for God's sake. It's already dumb enough. You do not need a musical. This one has reached, and I think they're all in on the joke. Like, these things that these cars are doing are absolutely impossible, and that's one of the reasons why when all the action's going on, I'm just, like, laughing. I'm like, oh, look what they're doing now. Oh, that's a great one. It's like it's none of it is credible. None of it is believable. But you suspend your disbelief and like it's just big, dumb movie fun. And I was really excited this weekend. That movie did $70 million at the box office this weekend.
And that's is that like more pre-pandemic numbers? Is that what it would have done
that's
before the pandemic?
That's much more pre-pandemic. Okay. Probably pre-pandemic it would have done more, but that's still a gigantic number. A lot of people went back to the movies. So I thought it was a really good sign. It's a really fun movie. The one coming out this weekend is so friggin' creepy. It's called The Purge, The Forever Purge.
Yeah, I saw an ad for it. It looks wow. It's like basically it's legalized killing, right?
Yeah, it's just you can kill anybody. It's like the most disturbing thing in the world. Like I almost think I shouldn't say they should censor that, but it really is disturbing.
Most movies like that are disturbing. Though. I mean, the concept of the original one is kind of thought provoking, and with the idea that one day out of the year. It's okay to kill people. I obviously don't support that, but like if you watch the movie, it is very intriguing, you know, because the reasoning behind it. But then when you say, oh, this is the forever purge, so what? We're just making killing legal for everyone anytime?
That's apparently what it is, and it opens Friday. Ireland, you said you found something.
Yeah, all right, so here's the thing. Are you guys familiar with something called Uncrustables?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are delicious.
Yeah, those are good.
Okay, no, what are they?
They're peanut butter and jelly sandwiches where the crust has been taken off.
Oh.
And they prepackage them. And apparently this is a huge thing with IndyCar drivers because they can put them in their suits.
Right.
And just eat them when they have a break. Here's how it all started. This is Tony Kanaan, who's from Brazil, and Jimmy Johnson explaining how this all started.
We're doing a bike ride. This Drive for Safety.
Drive for Safety charity bike ride that happens around the Daytona 500 each year.
And I'm starving in the middle of the ride, and Jimmy pulled out of his pocket Uncrustable snack, which I never knew, which for people that don't know, because I'm bloody Brazilian, but it was a peanut butter and jelly that he actually freezes in the freezer, put it in his pocket, and during the ride it unfreezes, and then you can just eat. And since then, I eat that thing. It was so many calories, but anyway.
Not good calories.
Every time I open that thing, it reminds me of Jimmy.
You should try straight out of the freezer. It's like a dessert then.
Okay, here we go.
See, another layer.
What in the world? Lindsay, you've had one of these before?
Oh, they're delicious. They used to be until, I started cutting back on sweets and bad foods. They're delicious. They're like my favorite thing to eat. I could eat like 10 of them at once. Right, they're so good.
What is the point of taking the crust off?
Well, they make it into a little pie from what it looks like.
Yeah,
it looks like they've crushed the sandwich into sort of a pie with no crust.
Just take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and take a circle cookie cutter and put it in the middle and pinch the edges so the stuff doesn't
Have you ever had one frozen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're delicious.
This is just common,
yeah. This
have?
Is a thing?
It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, for years. I've been eating them. They've been around for like 2 decades.
So I eat PB&J probably 3 times a week. It's a perfect thing for me.
Have you ever had an Uncrustable?
Never have, but look at it. He said it's a lot of calories. One Uncrustable is 210 calories with total fat of 11% and total protein of 17%. So actually, it seems like it probably is exactly what I do. It's a good middle of the day, grab something, pick it up, eat it. It actually sounds like it's probably a pretty good thing. It's a little bit like...
All right.
Go ahead.
A text from Michael Roth.
Yes.
We've had those sandwiches in the press room for 3 years now.
Wow.
They are delicious.
How did
I know
that?
About this? Wow.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing that I never had any idea about.
Yeah, they're pretty good. My daughter loves them. I love them. Man, it's...
Are they enough? Like, if you have one Uncrustable, is that like having a PB&J sandwich? Is that enough for lunch?
Yeah.
I think you need two of them. They're kind of small.
But be careful, because once you take one, you want the whole box, man.
And they sell them in boxes of, like, I think the smallest box is either 6 of 8. And, like, I used to go through one of those in, like, a day or two. And I'd be like, oh, wow, I know it's already. So you have to get, like, the big giant box.
Right. Yeah, so you can go crazy on them. Yeah, no, they look good. I'm
and now I'm getting all sorts of tweets. Ireland, the honey and peanut butter are the best Uncrustable.
Oh, I love honey and
Ireland,
peanut butter.
Ireland, those things are good. Smucker's puts them out. Yeah, this is a poll. I just have a cultural blind spot for Uncrustables. I've never had one.
Well, it's in my wheelhouse now. Because I'm always
report
looking for,
back.
When I'm trying to eat healthy, I'm like, right again, John, I'm trying to cut some weight.
Well, this doesn't sound like a weight cutter.
They're not healthy. They're not healthy.
Untrue. 210 calories for a snack is actually pretty good. Like I get a breakfast sandwich. It's like 300 calories. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The ones I get are 220 calories, right the same. It's protein. It's some fat. It's some carbs. It's actually kind of a complete little mini meal if you want like a midday snack. I'm trying to do that thing where you eat a little bit and then you wait a little while and then you eat a little bit more and you wait a while. You know how that thing goes?
Yeah.
I'm trying that. So breakfast sandwich, PB&J, handful of nuts, yogurt. You know, you do that thing all through the day. That's what I'm trying to. I'm down to 199, John. I'm back down under 200.
There you go.
So I'm going to look great for our golf event, even though I won't play well in it. I got an email, interestingly, from a guy named Jaco Halfen. And he reached me on our email. He says, being a longtime fan of you and your show with Ireland and a golf enthusiast, I heard recently about your upcoming contest with Ireland. I'm writing today to warn you about the diabolical plot concocted by Ireland to trap you into this contest when you are a beginner. Regardless of how many strokes he'll give you, you will not be able to beat him unless you tap into the forces that animate your elevated mind, spiritual powers able to control your confidence and your concentration acquired through psychedelic drugs. He wrote a book called Be the Ball. Famous line. Be the ball.
Oh, of course. He's trying to sell you something.
To show that golf is not just a sport and that it has very strong spiritual and mind component. He says he will gladly send a free copy of it to me to help me. So Be the Ball might be a way to go. It is a very... Do you think it's a spiritual sport, John?
I do.
In what respect?
Because it's you against the land. You know, you're not really... You could play it by yourself. You could play it against other people. You can play it in a tournament. For me, it's changed, because I don't sleep, it changed the way I deal with the mornings. Because I found this whole world of people that are up at the same time I'm up at. Like, tomorrow I'll be there by 6 a.m.
Oh, my God. 6 a.m. is a rumor to me.
Yeah. And it's a great way to watch the city wake up. And you're out there with deer and animals, and, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, I think it is, for me, it's not been spiritual. It has been
hellish.
It's been
just frustrating.
It's been hellish and frustrating.
All right, here's the, I'll change subject on you. Here's the Dodger lineup tonight for a huge two-game series against the Dodgers, all right? Mookie Betts leading off in right, Max Muncy at first, Justin Turner at third, Cody Bellinger, who's looked good, he looks like he's back to normal, is a batting cleanup in center, Will Smith catching, Chris Taylor at second base, batting sixth, Gavin Lux at short, batting seventh, A.J. Pollock in left, batting eight, and Trevor Bauer on the mound.
Interesting lineup because there are only three lefties in it.
Muncy, Bellinger, Lux.
Yeah, only three lefties facing a really good right-hander. Desclafani's been really, really good. If you're going out tonight, please pay attention to the game and do not do the wave.
Do the wave and fire up a beach ball if you get bored. No use falling asleep. Yeah.
And I hope somebody will have a long hairpin. Is that a thing?
Okay.
A hairpin?
No.
I hope somebody brings a long hairpin to pop the balloons.
Pop the balloons. What are you? Are you going to go like tell kids about Santa Claus?
I'm here for a game. I'm not here to watch a ball bounce around. I'm not here to try to half wave myself.
No. Ball.
This game is for first place in the National League West. It matters. All right. Coming up next for you, you're going to give away four pack of tickets to our exclusive screening of Black Widow. It is Thursday, July the 8th at 7 o'clock at Regal Cinemas in West Covina. Jump on the phones right now. John has got a stupid little game that he has invented to help give away these tickets.
Yeah, this one today is either way too easy or way too hard. I can't decide.
Okay, we will find out. 877-710-ESPN. We will need multiple players for this. Then we got Game of Games, and we'll figure out the lie of the day coming up, too, before the end of the show.
I think I got it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting. Okay, we'll find out. Nobody's got it yet. We'll find out if you've got it. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, we are doing an exclusive screening of Black Widow at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina coming up on July the 8th. You can see it before anybody else. Great new Marvel movie, and we are giving away a four-pack of tickets right now. Ireland, you've invented the game today because I've been banned from creating games.
Yeah, your games are terrible, and you always do the wrong math. So I've taken it over. Now, this one, Mace, would be very easy for you. I can't decide if it's easy or hard for the listener. So bring up the first guy,
okay,
and we'll try it.
Let's go to Devin in L.A. Devin, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
It's a Mason in Ireland Monday. I made it through. I'm freaking excited, boy.
Okay, Devin.
Awesome,
all right, hope you get it. Now, Devin, in this movie, The Black Widow, which we're giving away tickets to, Scarlett Johansson plays a character named Natasha Romanoff. All right. She first appeared as Natasha Romanoff. She has an alias, Natalia Romanova, in Iron Man 2, after what other actress turned down the role? So I'm looking for the name of that actress, but I'm going to give you a hint, okay? Each caller is going to get one hint.
Awesome.
This other actress appeared as the other assistant to Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada, opposite Anne Hathaway.
I think that is too easy.
All right, who is it? Devin?
Can I use Mace as a lifeline?
No, I'm sorry.
No, sorry, Devin.
Devin, you want to guess or no?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
All right,
no,
good guess.
It's a try. She's definitely been in the series, Pepper Potts.
Okay, so who's up next, Mace?
Miguel and Maywood. Miguel, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey.
Hey, Miguel, do you know the answer or do you want another hint?
Can I get another hint?
Yeah. All right, the first hint is I'm looking for the name of the actress who turned down the role of Natasha Romanoff before Scarlett Johansson took it. I said she appeared as the other assistant to Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada, opposite Anne Hathaway. That was the first clue. The second clue is she played Mary Poppins in Disney's Mary Poppins remake in 2018. Who am I looking for?
man. Yeah, I don't have that.
All right, okay. Miguel. Thanks for trying.
Thanks, Miguel. Thanks, now, Miguel. There'll be more chances.
Jorge, how do I pronounce this name on line three?
Amo.
Amo. Amo in San Diego. Amo, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Amo.
Hey, hello.
Hey, man. Do you know the answer or do you want another hint?
Is it Emily Blunt?
It's Emily Blunt. You got it, man. Congratulations.
Good job, man. Good job. Now, are you going to be able to make it to the screening from San Diego?
Yeah, I should be able to.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you. You got a 4-pack of tickets. Congratulations. Stay on the line. We'll get some information from you, man. Yeah, Emily Blunt. I would have gotten that from the first.
Yeah, I knew you would. I didn't know the other two clues. She was. She's married in real life to John Krasinski from The Office.
Yep.
And she's currently the star of The Quiet Place 2. She was also the star of the original Quiet Place. Emily Blunt turned that role down. Boy, you think of how much money those Marvel movies have made and The Black Widow has made. Emily Blunt turned down a lot of money.
You know, she has a line in a movie that I use all the time.
You're, I bet you I know what it is.
Yeah.
You're one stomach flu away from your goal weight.
Yes. One stomach flu away from my goal weight. It's such a great line. Very underrated movie, Devil Wears Prada. It's very good, despite Anne Hathaway.
Wait, no, she's good in that.
No, she's good in it. She's good in it. You know, I just got a little Hathaway thing.
But I'm always fascinated by that road not taken.
Yeah.
In Hollywood. And then, you know that Jack Nicholson turned down Indiana Jones?
Yeah, so did Burt Reynolds.
And then a bunch of people turned down, Kevin Costner was offered Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption.
James Caan was offered Superman instead of
So get a load of this. Costner turned down Andy Dufresne.
Yep.
Tom Hanks turned it down. And Brad Pitt was going to be offered in that role, and they were all doing other movies.
Right.
So they couldn't do it.
See, some actors don't want to be part of a franchise like that. Like, Emily Blunt may be one of those people. I think Leo DiCaprio, he's been offered multiple times a chance to be part of Marvel, any sort of superhero, any sort of bad guy, something like that. He's just like, nah, not my scene.
Well, yeah, don't they usually, when you sign on for those movies, don't they usually make you sign on for a few of them?
For yeah, you're there for at least three and maybe more. And
so, you know,
that be tied up like that.
The movie that made Julia Roberts a star was Pretty Woman. She got it when she was 22.
Yep.
The people that turned that down included Daryl Hannah, Jodie Foster, Jennifer Connelly, Diane Lane, and when it came to Vivian's friend, the one that Laura San Giacomo played, they offered that to Demi Moore. She turned it down.
Wow.
Winona Ryder was apparently considered, didn't do it.
Yeah, tough one to turn down.
Yeah.
Worked big time. Yeah. I didn't dig that movie.
You didn't like Pretty Woman?
I didn't think it was at all realistic.
What?
I don't think
Pretty Woman was realistic?
No, I don't think it was realistic.
Why? What was unrealistic about it?
Because she was would you say she was a lady of the night?
She absolutely was. She was a prostitute.
And how many times does the guy actually go back and get with the lady of the night? It just didn't seem realistic to me.
That was the point of it.
Yeah, that was the whole point of it. It was how he fell in love with her unexpectedly and not wanting to fall in love with someone.
Yeah, totally. Just never bought it. Never bought it. I just don't think that would happen. It's sort of like Forrest Gump. Never bought any of this stuff in Forrest Gump either.
Okay, so have you guys seen the Matrix movies?
Of course.
You know, so think about how different this would have been. The role of Neo was originally offered to Sandra Bullock.
Wow.
And she turned it down and they gave it to Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that's crazy.
Would have been a completely different series.
Matrix 4 and John Wick 4, both scheduled to be released Memorial Day of next year. I don't know if one of them is going to say, all right, we'll back down, we'll let the other. But right now it looks like Keanu Superpalooza. Next Memorial Day.
Okay, all right, so, but one more for you. Boogie Nights, Dirk Diggler, played by Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
Turned down by DiCaprio.
Oh, wow. He'd have been great, too. Been great, too. The Boogie Nights holds up so well. If I come across that thing in the middle of the night when I'm flipping around cable, we'll always stop and watch Boogie Nights. So good. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Julianne Moore, William H. Macy, Him, John C. Reilly. I mean, that's just a great movie. Paul Thomas Anderson, one of the great living directors we got. All right, coming up now is Game of Games. So I've got a game today, and it is in the theme of movies. We will do that coming up next for you. And then, can you figure out, at some point today, I told a lie. A totally made-up BS story.
But I only have one guess, so if I miss it, I'm screwed.
Okay. So if you think you know the lie, 877-710-ESPN. We'll give a couple of you guys a crack at this. If you've been listening the entire show, you'll have a shot. Otherwise, you'll have no shot at all. Jorge, listen to them and see if they have a clue before you actually give them to us to put on the air. Cool?
You got it.
All right, cool. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
ESPN. And so far in the month of June, Ireland has got a narrow lead on the field. Actually, Jorge is the lead.
Jorge is ahead of me.
Yeah, 7-5.
Ireland has won 6. I've won 4. Lindsay has won 4. So everybody's kind of in this, and it's worth 2 points today. Unfortunately, this is a game that tilts towards Ireland, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I will give you an example first. I am going to, as an actor, as a trained actor, I'm going to deliver a line from a famous movie, famous line.
Okay.
You will buzz in with your name when you know the answer. Now, this is not one of them, but I just want to give you an idea of what's going to happen. Okay.
I'm going to make him an offer. He can't refuse.
Jorge.
You said the actor or the movie?
The movie.
Godfather, The Godfather. Right?
Okay. That was just a test. Unfortunately, yeah. You got it, but I didn't think you would. You're the one that's seen The Godfather. Lindsay has never seen it. All right. So, Ireland, you get the idea?
I do.
Okay.
I am prepared and ready to try and catch Jorge in the standings.
Okay. Here is number one. Your name is your buzzer. Toto, I feel
Lindsay.
Like...
John.
Lindsay.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. Toto, jeez. I feel like we're not in Kansas anymore. Lindsay, very quick to the punch there. All right. Here's number two. There's no crying.
John.
Lindsay.
League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. Jeez. It's Ireland 1, Lindsay 1, Jorge yet to scratch. Number three. A census taker tried to test me once. I ate his liver.
John.
John.
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs, yes. A census taker tried to test me once. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice key.
It was not a bad Hannibal Lecter. It wasn't good, but it was not bad.
All right. Number four. I see dead people.
Okay. Lindsay.
Jorge.
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense, yes. Ireland 2, tight. Lindsay 1, Jorge 1. Number five.
Houston.
John.
John.
Oh. Apollo 13.
Apollo 13 is correct.
Tight. That
yes.
was close.
Houston, we have a problem.
All right, number six. You need people like me so you can
John.
Point your... Ireland.
A Few Good Men.
No! Interesting. You're right. It is a very similar line, but it is not that. Here's the full line. You need people like me so you can point your effing fingers and say, that's the bad guy. Nothing.
No, nothing.
How is this not A Few Good Men?
It's not A Few Good Men.
What is it?
It is Scarface.
Oh.
You need people like me so you can point your effing fingers and say that's the bad guy.
Huh. Okay.
Scarface. Okay.
It
is Ireland.
Three.
Three.
They have one each.
Jorge 2, Lindsay 1. Okay. Here's the last one. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Star Wars.
Star Wars, yes. Mm. So it's Ireland 3, Lindsay 2, Jorge 1. Jorge, I'm sorry, you've lost.
That's okay.
That's already still tied for the lead.
We're still tied.
Do you want to do the tiebreaker just for fun?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Wendy, I have let
Lindsay.
You. Yes, Lindsay?
I don't know. it's The Shining.
There you go, Wendy. I have let you F up my life so far. I will not let you F this up.
I was going to say Peter Pan until I realized that you're doing it
Wendy.
Wendy, right. That funny voice.
Yeah, not that my very bad. I have no Nicholson game at all. None.
No,
I've never been able to do an impression of Nicholson. Can you, John?
No.
Jorge?
No, no way.
I know.
Which is weird because Nicholson's like your favorite actor from a movie.
Yeah, I
he's a hard guy. He's a hard guy to do an impression of. Don't you think?
He is. But a lot of people have a Nicholson. A lot of people have a Christopher Walken. And I have no aim at Christopher Walken either.
Christopher Walken's kind of easy. You just got to spread the words out.
Go ahead. Tell us.
I think of something to say.
You know who does Christopher Walken unbelievably is Jay Moore.
Oh, Jay Moore does a great Christopher Walken. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great one. All right, so at some point today, I told a lie on the show. Just totally made
now,
up a story.
I think I've got a bit. I probably shouldn't guess until we let the callers guess.
Yeah, let's
right?
I think we got two callers on the line who have legit guesses. Why don't you pick them up?
All right, so, and if they miss, but I'm guessing one of these two will guess the same thing that that I did. Okay. So I'm trying to get into chat.
Sam, here's Sam on 710 ESPN. Hey, Sam. Just dropped.
Okay. Is Brian there? Hey, Brian, you there?
What was the lie of the day?
I think the lie was that the Matrix was offered to Sandra Bullock.
Well, first of all, that was me. That
was
wasn't
Ireland's
Mason,
line.
And that was true.
It's a good try, but it was true. All right, so now you guys get a crack at it. What was the lie of the day, John Ireland? What do you say?
Okay, you told a story that you knew a guy when you worked for the Mud Hens named Steve Maple that told you 100 different places to hide sticky stuff. I think the whole thing is made up.
Lindsay, do you have a guess?
Mine was going to be about going to a nudist beach.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Jorge?
Yeah, I'm with Ireland. Steve Maple sounds fake to me, man.
Steve Maple was one of my best friends when I was working with the Toledo Mud Hens.
No, it's real.
Oh, man.
Did Lindsay get it?
No, it was. I did go to Clothing Optional. I was at Esalen Institute a whole bunch of times.
What?
The correct answer, Bobby Valentine never made a weekly appearance on my show on WNEW in New York.
And that's such a random thing.
There was
no, that's good.
There was never an altercation between Benny Agbayani and Robin Ventura.
So what popped into your head? How did Benny Agbayani pop into your head?
I quickly Googled 2000 Mets, and that name was there.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, so there's your lie of the day. Now,
I thought maple sounds like maple syrup, which is sticky, and I was convinced I had it.
He was a great guy. In fact, every day we would play Pepper, and we played like Pepper to the death, and we were trying to
and
hit
for
the
people
ball
don't know
by
what Pepper is,
other.
It's basically pitch and catch. One guy throws the ball, the other guy has a bat, and he just peppers it back to the first guy.
And we would try to get it out of the reach of the other person, pepper it away from them. So
that's why you always see the words no pepper around the dugouts because they don't want people hitting the ball into the fans.
It's true. Yeah. Pepper was a great game. It is a great game. And Steve Maple, fantastic guy. My mom is probably listening right now. She knows Steve Maple. He was one of my best buddies when I was working AAA.
So do you think Trevor Bauer pitching tonight, he's struggled a little bit lately, but he still has a decent ERA.
Yep.
He still has a lot of strikeouts. Has Trevor Bauer lived up to his billing?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think I would say yes. I'm right on the fence. I mean, the guy's got a three. Let's see, what has he got? I'm trying to look at his ERA. He's got a 2.57. Oh yeah, 7-5, 2.57. Absolutely, sign me up. I'll take that. .97 whip.
Yeah, he hasn't been given a lot of run support.
11 strikeouts per nine. I always look at strikeouts per inning. He's got 129 strikeouts in 101 innings. So, yeah, Trevor Bauer has been absolutely devastating. But his last three starts have been less so. And they're facing in this series, the Dodgers are facing the Giants in the series at Dodger Stadium, two games. They're facing the Giants' best two pitchers, Anthony Desclafani, tonight. And then tomorrow night is Kevin Gausman, who is a Cy Young candidate. You could argue that Desclafani is a Cy Young candidate, too. That's
by the way,
the Giants
do you know, the Dodgers kind of got back on track over the weekend, so they're back as the favorites to go to the World Series?
Are they?
Yeah. You know who the favorite to go to the World Series out of the American League
is?
Yeah,
Houston.
So it could be Dodgers-Astros in the World Series again, a rematch of the one they cheated.
Sign me up. That is the ultimate show business revenge series in history, isn't it? That's the one we want. We want the Astros.
Yeah,
or do you want them to flame out?
Would you rather have the Astros than the Yankees? The Yankees is kind of a heritage World Series.
Yeah, but let's face it. We got dirt on the Astros. We got dirt on them. We got a score to settle. They stole the 2017 World Series.
Man, how fun would it be to go to a Dodgers-Yankees game in Yankee Stadium during the World Series?
But can you imagine an Astros-Dodgers game at Dodgers Stadium in the World Series?
Yeah, but
the booze, the emotion.
We've been there, done that. We've already seen it.
We haven't seen it at Dodger Stadium.
Of course we have. You were.
I would rather see the Dodgers.
Wait a minute, Mason. What's
Astros
wrong with you? You were at the Dodgers Astros games at the World Series.
No. I'm saying we've not seen them deal with the ramifications of what they did.
Oh, I see.
The Astros have not played at Dodger Stadium since they stole the. We see them booed elsewhere.
Yeah,
we see trash cans.
That's
elsewhere.
Coming into the month, right? Coming beginning of August.
Early August. Yeah, we get the Astros here.
I'd rather see that than the Dodgers play the Yankees in the World Series. For what it's worth.
There you go. All right. Hey, that's Mason in Ireland today. Thanks for listening. Coming up next for you is our state-of-the-art afternoon drive show. It is Sedano, LZ, and I think Cap is back from South Miami Beach. That is coming up next for you. See you tomorrow, 12:55 sharp, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.